As the heated political season counts down to November's election, Lake Effect essayist Kyle Cherik has been thinking about immigration, specifically how connected immigrants are to the food we all eat.
If there is dignity in all work, why is there not dignity for all workers? That message, artfully arranged on a poster from my childhood, has been the leitmotif for me over the past week or so as the Republican candidate for the United States presidency revisited his bipolar relationship with Mexicans. I don't know where the poster was hung. It may have been in the press room of the Waukesha Freeman, the newspaper where I delivered papers from age 10 to 15, a newspaper proudly founded by abolitionists in 1844. I had a route that began with the address right next door to where the paper was written and printed. I would cut through the press room for the fun of it, and the pressman, jocular, ribald, and sweat-stained, the hard grit of the ink dust on their hands and faces instilled in me a sense of dignified work. It might have hung in the office of the priest of my parish in grade school, St. Joseph's. It was an office I visited rarely, but amidst its cluttered papers and secondhand furniture, that office instilled in me a deep sense of service for those in need. My most memorable visit was a church-sponsored clothing drive where we, the parish, provided for and welcomed the burgeoning Mexican immigrant community that had sprung up in the neighborhood around the church. That church where my mother married my father just 10 years after coming to America as an immigrant herself. That same building now welcomed a new sort of American to its fold. Or I may have seen the poster in the office of one of my middle school or high school teachers. Having switched to public school in the early 80s, I encountered a sort of educator I would now call reasonably idealistic. Many were children of the 60s, and through that esprit, believed fervently that having a solid public education was one of the best things a person could have. They took their work of teaching as a life choice, often eschewing better-paying routes. Their expectation of us was the daily work of well-rounded and participatory citizenry. What else, one of my favorite teachers asked, is an education for? There are times when I feel I let all these people and their lessons down. In my current role as food historian and storyteller, I tend to see most things from a food-based perspective. Now, before you dismiss this perspective, consider this. Food is the way we bond, the way we celebrate, the way we signify, and the way we nourish. Name one significant life event, joyful or despairing, that isn't observed in some way by food or drink. And we are dining out more than ever. For the first time in recorded history, Americans spent more in 2015 on dining out than they did on groceries. Getting food to us, growing it, preparing it is incredibly hard and, when done consciously, deeply worthwhile work. And much of it, the unspoken, glamorless, often ignored labor, is done by immigrants, many of whom Trump labeled at the beginning of the summer as murderers and rapists. I know he spoke in bellicose, fear-inducing platitudes. I know that many celebrity chefs called him out publicly or pulled their restaurants from their properties with his name on them. But why was there not more of a chorus of dissenting voices as well? And from the food industry folks at the corner cafe and the white tablecloth restaurant and the local farm field. Here's why there should have been. Let's take fresh lettuces, greens, and every other fruit or veggie grown. Get real. Who, as a majority, do you think picks them? Every clean plate in every restaurant you have eaten in the past 20 years, washed again by the same majority. California wine. Were legal and illegal Mexicans and Central Americans not picking it, there would be none. N-O-N-E, none. The New York Times did a story some years back in which a hardy young man from the Midwest went out to join the immigrant sharecroppers to see how difficult vineyard work was. He lasted one day. One. The rich, terroir-laden milk you pour unthinkingly into your coffee each morning? Of the 39.6 million calves born to the dairy industry each year, the majority are brought into this world under the care of a Mexican or Central American immigrant. And Christmas trees, piled high and cheaply at Home Depots, Walmarts, and supercenters across America on the day after Thanksgiving, You know what I was about to say, but they're not edible, so I guess I digress. When Donald Trump vilified Mexicans in his now infamous statement back in June, where were the voices of so many of my fellow foodies, chefs, farmers, and restaurateurs? More importantly, where was mine? To be candid, I let it slide, hoping the whole thing would fade into the political background. But it didn't, and he didn't. At their meeting before the press a week or two ago, Mexico's president, Enrique Peña Nieto, told Trump, quote, "Mexicans deserve everybody's respect, wherever they are," unquote. I wholeheartedly agree. So if food nourishes us and is even glamorized at times to the point of high art, then why is there not dignity for every individual cog in the wheel that brings it to our plates? Is the sharecropper's work worth less dignity than the winemaker's? Is the dishwasher less precious to one's dining experience than the chef? Skills and pay scales aside, should these crucial tasks stop, the whole system grinds to a halt. So my question this election season, as seen through the lens of food, is this. If there is dignity in all work, why is there not dignity for all workers?
Lake Effect essayist Kyle Cherik is host of the PBS television show Wisconsin Foodie.